There are new data suggesting consumers were itching to spend last month. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Consumers were splashing out last month, at least as recorded by the statisticians in Washington. Consumer spending went up 0.9% in March, just 1 month. But 1 month is not a trend. On Mondays, we consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the data out today, consumer spending in America went up by the most in nearly a decade. But context, I think, is everything, right?
Oh, absolutely. Before we get all excited about this, let's remember how scared we were with a pretty record-breaking decline in consumer spending in December. And I think what we take away is that the data is noisy. You smooth through some of these numbers, and consumers are spending at about a 2.5% pace and probably will continue to do so as long as the labor market is strong.
Which it is.
Which it is. We've had good news on the labor market, and at the end of this week, we get the employment report for April, which should continue to show very decent job growth.
All right. I was looking for the other side of the story in today's data release, inflation, and I couldn't even find much of that.
Well, that's right. So the conundrum is that despite a pretty robust economy, inflation has actually headed lower. That's good news for consumers, but it sort of defies our economic models that say a strong economy should come with rising inflation pressures. We just really aren't seeing that.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives here in New York. Thank you.
My pleasure.
African swine fever affects pigs. There's no cure, and it is roiling the food supply of the most populous country in the world. I reached the BBC's China correspondent Robin Brandt today on the streets of Shanghai.
700 million pigs were slaughtered for food last year here in China. And there is a prediction that for this year, 2019, some 150 million or 200 million pigs will be culled because of the spread of African swine fevers. And we're already seeing the price of pork here move. It's around about just above $2 a kilo. Predictions it could move to 2.5, maybe 3 times that.
Now, what about in the context of the U.S.-China trade war? That's complicating this. The U.S. produces a lot of pork. Potentially, we could export more.
There's been talk of negotiating extra sales of pork products from the U.S. to China. China's already moved to increase its reserves of frozen pork by importing larger amounts here to the mainland, looking to stock those up as supply is affected. There's also a downside, though, for the farmers. You know, those who grow soy, sorghum, which are used as feed for pigs here in this country. Much of that is imported here into China, and there's going to be far fewer pigs in China in the year ahead. Like I said, maybe 25% less, and that means less of a demand for soy and sorghum, both products that have featured significantly in the negotiations between the two sides.
The BBC's Robin Brandt following this from Shanghai. Robin, thank you.
Many thanks, David.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Spotify, listen to what music you want, all you can eat. This morning, Spotify reported mixed results. While the loss was worse than analysts were expecting, revenue and subscriptions were better, and the stock is, let's see, a little changed at the moment. Marketplace's Ben Bradford has more.
I've been having dreams, jumping on a trampoline.
This is 26-year-old Justin Shinonikwit's current favorite song on Spotify. He'd used the free service to listen since college until he sprang for an upgrade this winter.
Yeah, it was 99 cents for 3 months, and I just haven't canceled since because it's really convenient to use now.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be?
This song will be on the playlist when 47-year-old Matt Schultz and his wife celebrate her parents' 50th anniversary.
She wanted to create a playlist of their old favorite songs for the occasion, and she didn't want to have to hear ads in the middle of it all.
So they paid $10 a month for an ad-free playlist. This is Spotify's business model, moving free listeners to paid. The company's Alex Nordstrom said last year that 90% of Spotify's revenue comes from its premium services.
This freemium model is a key differentiator. Not one, of our major competitors have a free product like this.
But now Amazon and Google are offering their own free ad-based music services. Mark Mulligan of Media Research.
If these were any other companies, Spotify wouldn't have much to worry about.
He says both have the clout to potentially siphon users or eventually major record labels from Spotify.
They've got the same songs, they've got the same pricing, so there's very little differentiation in the market.
For now, Google and Amazon's free music is only available on the company's home voice assistants, Google Home and the Amazon Echo. Spotify, for its part, has been looking to grow beyond just music.
From Gimlet, this is Reply All. I'm Alex Goldman.
And I'm PJ Vogt.
The company's recent $230 million acquisition of the podcasting company Gimlet shows one path for Spotify to expand as its major competitors encroach on its musical territory. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And the Washington Post just ran a feature in which various writers suggest some piece of culture that needs to end and end now. For instance, exclamation points. Just get rid of them, argues a noted copy editor at Random House. School portraits. Why? And Susie Orman, the personal finance guru, writes that it is time to end daily stock market updates. You know, encourages short-term thinking. Too often it's just the Dow, which is so narrow in scope. I'm mostly with you, Susie. Just wait for quarterly portfolio statements to arrive four times a year. I'm sure it's plenty of market news. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.